Welcome to Ever Beyond.
Broadcast through the Wolf Spirit Media Network. Please join us in the chat room at wolfspiritmedia.net.
Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond.
Tune in with TalkStream Live, search for Ever Beyond. Also, you can call to listen on 712-432-9588. Selected archives are also available on my YouTube channel, Studio 9 Jam. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Good afternoon, good evening, and welcome. This is a special Ever Beyond podcast with my dear friend, Michael Wadada. Michael, good afternoon and happy birthday.
Oh, well, thank you very much. And it's great to be here in your lovely little studio.
In Studio 9A. I think this is probably Studio 9C by now.
Yeah, 9C, yeah. I remember the first one. Wonderful place over in, where was it?
Altair Estate in Northern Scotland.
And now Glasgow Art College.
Glasgow, yes, it's that place is now a branch of the Glasgow School of Art, GSA. Yeah. And yes, we've got some lovely memories from those days.
We've been here so long. Englishman in the Highlands.
That's right. Here we are. Yeah, we don't speak like the locals.
Okay. But tomorrow is a very special day. Well, and
what's
as I say, tomorrow is the 11th of January.
Uh-huh.
It's a new year.
Oh, I see.
In Birkhead is I live. And it's the old Celtic New Year, and it starts 11th of January.
So, happy birthday. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, yeah.
And this is the year of the what? There's no, it's not like Chinese, is it?
No, I don't think they do that. It's the year of burning down the clavy. They do that every year. Many people are sacrificed on the hill.
It's very spectacular. It's very spectacular. The burning of the clavy. You look it up on YouTube, CLAVIE, and you see this very spectacular thing involving fire and tar and people. And, you know, no sense of health and safety whatsoever, is it?
No, fire and brimstone.
It's very, very, it's very, very raw and elemental. So, today, what would you like to bring to our people here?
Well, I'd like to discuss Indian ragas and the technical breakthroughs in frequency research, really.
Fabulous. Fabulous, because that's also obviously a interest of mine, the frequency research. And even the idea of the concept of the raga is very different from our Western musical style, where we have an intro, we have a we have a verse chorus and a bridge and then an outro. So that's normally how British American blues based pop songs are, but Indian music is completely different. Where do we start? How do people start from where they are today?
Well, you see, now Indian classical music has been taught now in the West, trying to make it the same way, but in a pre-written down structure, which it never is, and never has been. It's a set of rules based around scales, and now the scales are very different, subtle, very subtle difference. Mm-hmm. You might say a 7-note scale with these notes in, and you think you know it, but there'll be another raga with the same 7 notes in, but subtle ways of going from that note to the next note, like a slide up to that note or a slide down from that note will make it
a different scale.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Different raga.
It's a little like the only thing that we have in Western music, I think, is the harmonic minor scale, which is different. Is it harmonic minor? I'm not very good with all the names. But harmonic minor scale, which is different as it goes up, as it comes down. So, there's a different scale on the way up and the way down.
Yeah, well, the same thing, they have like different rules up and down, but within that is all the different notes, variations of each note.
Okay, so let's just break it down.
And it's not just flats and sharps.
Exactly.
Let's
just break it down a little bit more. So, we have in Western music an octave, okay,
yeah.
A to A. Is there a concept of octave in Indian music?
Well, the octave is very much depends on the instrument. I mean, the very basic flute thing only has one octave, but if you have veenas can have 4 different octaves, just played on the instrument. But yeah, the concept is the octave goes on forever, but of course you can't make an instrument that can do that.
Okay, so now in Western, again, we have the division of the octave into 12 semitones and then 7 scale notes in our diatonic scale. That's the regular 7, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. That's known as the diatonic, for reasons that I won't even bother to go into right now. But the atonic means it's got a semitone interval. An interval is the gap between 2 notes. So when you've got Indian music, do you still have 12 semitones, or are there more? Do they match with our semitone scales?
They do, but like I said, there's variations on them at the same time. So it's a whole very complex thing. And I've never learned it. I just took what I could hear, and I'm trying to make it into a simple structure. So what I'm trying to do is break down their barriers of having too much complication and to make it into Western music.
So, in effect, Santa Barbara is a simplified raga?
Yeah.
Could we put it that way?
Yeah, exactly.
Or
exactly.
A westernized... Would you say it's westernized?
I'd say it's...
It's kind of, yeah.
I'm trying to get somewhere else with it, and I've been doing it for nearly 40 years now, and I haven't reached that. So the new thing I want to do is to investigate the frequencies, because it's all arbitrary. Everything is arbitrary in India. It's like you tune up your instrument to itself. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there'd be no let's tune this to A440 or anything like that. It's if the instrument's in tune, it's in tune.
Mm. And they also, when you're with a sitar, there's a certain tension. Even with a guitar. When your guitar's tuned with the right size strings, there's a certain tension that gives you a feel of a certain resistance. So obviously when you're tuning your instrument, it's not going to be too far away from its natural resonance of each string. There'll be a certain tension that you'll recognise. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. It's the instrument's got its own resonance, so therefore you tune it to that.
Mm.
And if you try and break it into something that it shouldn't be, you'll notice the difference and even break the instrument, you know.
Yeah, so you can't overtight, you can't overstring it and you can't understring it, because it'll just sound really slack.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's that sweet spot. And probably that sweet spot is designed around the feelings in the human body.
Sure, sure. And as I said, like, I've been doing it for 40 years and I still don't see any progression in the outside world of bringing spiritual music into popular music. And that's initially what I tried to do, without all what we've just been talking about, all the technical side of things. It's up to the musician to find out about these technical things, about how it should be tuned. But it's the effect on the people that I'm getting. And if you listen, of course, to the radio, or just not only the radio, but what's on YouTube and anything, I don't really see anything out there. When the advent of what they call New Age music was all supposed to, that was, what was that about? The 80s or something. And I met a man called Tim Weezer, who just produced an album of flute music. And he was signed to a big record label. They signed him up and they said to him, "We are going to make you the New Age star." And he was saying, "Well, you know, what's that?" He thought, "Well, it's going to be the term we're going to use for all this music." And they teamed me up with him, and we made an album together at the same time. And I've just met him again after all these years in Spain a few months back. And he's still doing what he did. He was playing solo flute music, and he's still doing it. But what, nothing really seems to have... I mean, what I'm trying to say is, at that time, we thought this was going to be this... a saviour of the world, you know. The music I was doing, the music he was doing, I firmly believe that music could really change things. Not politically, but spiritually. And I still do, but it doesn't seem, well, especially where we are now in Scotland, there seems to be a total lack of it, you know. There's music, there's kind of Cayley music, which is kind of Scottish diddly-dee dance music, and it doesn't seem to progress in all these years I've been pursuing this thing. I'm still trying to do it, but and I don't get the opportunity to do it. There's nobody wanting this kind of music, you know what I mean? I think the next gig I've got this year, the only gig I've got this year, is in Hungary, a festival over near Budapest, which will be the third time we've got there, because they, something about that, they really, you know, the, feel something real about it over there. But I think in the West, you know, I can tell, because like the amount of things we've been doing has slowly gone down to zero, you know. Last year we played the Celtic Connection things, and that is trying to fit you in a box, you know. You've got a, you know, a bagpipe player, so you can come and play. So everything's like being slotted into boxes. It's the record business. They try to do that like any other business. It's like if you've got some any other product, it becomes kind of popular among the select few, and then the corporations buy it up and they market it and degrade it. Well, the same thing I think is happening with music. And what I am trying to do is try and get people together with the same views as me to play this music. And as I said, there's not many people will do that up here, but across the country I'm sure there's loads of people. So I have this plan that instead of the Sons of Arca going playing gigs with my band that I've selected, it's I'll go there with my ideas, and the band will be from the town that we're playing in, and there aren't any gigs in that town, so the people will organise a gig, a bit like a house concert, you know, like I think Rob Ellen did, you know, remember the house concerts?
Yeah, like what I used to do when I was with the Maria Hall Band, yeah.
Yeah, the house concerts, which means whoever's interested in spiritual music will organise it, And even if they don't know what they're doing, I'll arrive there on the train or something, or just drive there. And like exactly what we did in the Spanish thing. I went to Spain for a gig. They said, we can't afford to bring your band, but there's a lot of musicians. So that what we did there was really how it can happen. So I met musicians, and immediately we just started to play. And
some of them were top of the line musicians. The place, and tell people about the place that you were at as well.
Well,
fantastic building, and who was it?
Yeah, this was the studio that Youth, big time producer, made up in the hills near Granada, in the mountains of Granada. He was with Killing Joke as a bass player, and as a producer, he's produced The Verb, Paul McCartney, Culture Club, Boy George, Tom Jones, many people. So he's a big time producer, but he realised that the same thing, that this commercial music needs more to it, and he opened up his studio to anybody that wanted to go, and there are people that with a bit more experience like me. He actually paid their airfares to get there. Thank you very much. But it wasn't
very kind, Mr. Youth.
Very kind, but I mean, because previous to that, we'd be getting a fee, but things like that don't happen. The music thing is dying, and something else is being born from it. I hope, and so. Yeah, or your other people that was there. So he put us in there, and I went in there, and he said he'd play bass. Then on the last minute, he just disappeared, so I had to play the bass. But it didn't matter. So we had Nick Turner came in from Hawkwind playing flute. Tim Weeds, as I mentioned, he was there. There was quite a few people just showed up. And maybe you could give a YouTube link to it, and then you can see it for yourself, yeah? Well, I've called it, the studio's called Space Mountain, so I called it, Space Mountain Sessions.
Space Mountain Sessions?
Yeah, cool. So what I want to do now is try and put it out to people, especially people that are into the music that we do, the Sons of Archy Music, can try and organise an event in their town, if you get a certain amount of people, then we can look at dates so they can all flow together. Basically, organise a tour, but without a band. So the band arrives a bit like, in the old days, Hank Williams used to do tours, and he just arrived there, and they provide the
band.
Absolutely. Like now they provide the PA, maybe, if you're lucky. But then it was like, here's your drummer, here's your bass player, here's your pedal
house
steel.
House band, as we call it.
A house band, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a similar kind of thing. That's what I want to do. And you can have, so long as you've got just a few people that can really play, then other people that are just can't play that very well, it works for them as well, So long as you've got a solid base of people. Obviously, if you get a load of people that can't play at all, it can be, a bit of a nightmare.
A little cacophonous.
Yes.
So that
is the plan. So I'm trying to network that idea around Britain, and then say in the spring, couple of months time, we can set off and do that, and not only bring the music, but then we can have people, JP can come along, give a little talk about something. If we're in down near Robin Hood's Bay, Simon could pop around and say something, have a little talk. Huh? He's not. Where's he now?
He's further south. Now we can't reveal his exact location.
Okay, but anybody that's nearby can come by, because we always go down to St. Anne's, where New Horizons, Rob, who runs that for years, has been doing a similar kind of thing. His is strictly just talks and lectures and presentations. But I went down and I said to Rob, "Well, why don't you have some music?" And he said, "Sure." So we did. We've done a couple of shows, I think.
Yeah, that's on my YouTube channel Big shout out to Rob of New Horizons as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's been doing this for years, And I said to him, are there anything else like this? He said, well, one or two, but not many. Well, what we need is more like that, So, yeah, if you check that YouTube out thing, that shows we had a great talk by Jeff White. And then we did some music, and that's the kind of evening we want to do. But on a regular basis, every weekend, we're somewhere else, and we can move around, you know. And I think it's going to be the new thing, definitely, because there's nowhere to play in this country. I mean, you get one or two festivals in the summer, and then after that, it's all finished. There's these horrible clubs where, you know, everybody's sort of down a cellar drinking. They're not good. They're not meant for spiritual meeting places. So anyway, that's my little thought for the new year. This is what I want to achieve by springtime. And with the help of Wolf Spirit Radio, maybe we can do that.
Yeah, well, you never know. So, springtime for Wadada.
Springtime, early spring, yeah.
So, this is the way things seem to be moving in terms of live music no longer being played in clubs because DJs have taken over.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's been within our lifetimes that we've seen rock and roll kind of dissipate into death metal and you know, is going down the tube. And there's some remnants of the jazz fusion, you know, people with spiritual. So I'm very interested in spirit and frequency and its relationship to the human body and the human spirit and the human experience completely. So there are, we spoke earlier about your perception of music being, for want of a better word, profane these days. You know, not sacred. So let's talk about what does sacred mean. You've got an album, Sons of Arca, Scared Sacred. What does sacred mean to you in terms of music?
Sacred means you, when you play it, or in fact listen to it, it will take you to a place where you'd normally get from meditation. In fact, it is a meditation. For me, it's a meditation. Yeah, most music isn't. So that's the difference, as far as I can see.
So there are, I mean, I've come across various artists. I mean, for want of something else, Pink Floyd used to take people on a journey. I believe it's not a Christian spiritual. It's not even it was a shamanic. What you'd call, it has a native, raw, shamanic feel to it, which does transport you into another beingness. Now, the question is, where people need to go? Where do people need to be taken nowadays that is missing?
Well, they need to be taken away from the commercial aspect of music. Because it dumbs it down. You know, if you listen to the radio, they're going to put something in your head that will be in your head and it's not taking you anywhere. It might be a pretty tune, you know. There's, you know, I'm not against, I'm not saying ban that kind of music. That is, you know, there's a place for that as well, you know. There was always spiritual music and jesters coming around playing their music with different aspects, you know, like... That's the way the news travelled, really, in the old days, wasn't it? A musician had come round with a little folk tune, as they call them. And now, you know, a folk tune is something from the past that you sing up. Oh, hey, the shipbuilding's all gone down. And, you know, it's from the past, you know.
And the music itself and the lyrics themselves reflect the fact that it's a past thing, that it's all... longing for golden days gone by and all of that sort of nostalgia. Whereas I think what we're talking about here is how do we create a new folk music that lifts people, that tells people the news, and is a that is not driven by sales or pushed by corporations?
I think the main part of all of it is that it's got to be improvised. I think the whole thing about making music and then you record it and then you play it over and over again and then you go out on tour and you play the same song and it's exactly the same way. I think the music has got to be improvised for it to be really spiritual music. If it's a song and you know that song, well, it's fixed, you know. What I'm saying, if it's fixed, it's not the same as, like, creating it there and then. Yeah, exactly. Because I make records and I feel like I don't want... You know, people say, well, which songs are you doing from your album? And it's like, well, I'm not doing any. It's because I'm creating as we go along. So we do a new show, as it was. We'd do new music because I don't have people shouting, hey, can you play your latest hit record? Because we've never had any hit records there. So yeah, sure, I've tried, you know. I mean, I don't just do one thing. I mean, there is room for that nostalgia thing. In fact, I've done a couple of my favourite songs from the 60s.
Yeah, I mean, in the 60s, you've got you've got a little taste for the country and the Western.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, there's all that. I'm not saying any of that's bad. What I'm saying is the other is being engulfed in it. There's got to be a big select way to go to make the spiritual music. It's very hard to explain, you know, it really is.
Well, I think the key is continuous creation. Exactly. In the moment.
Yeah.
If I may, you know, as you know, Michael, and as we have experienced, I used to run a jam session, and a jam session, obviously, is a large amount of improvisation. People start with perhaps a familiar theme, you know, you might start off with a familiar chord progression, but then the idea is that it then spirals out and goes somewhere and then comes back. That, for many people, and for me personally, was a spiritual experience.
Exactly.
Even though it might have been just Michael row the boat ashore, you know, some very innocent or banal song. That we just, you know, took apart. That's jazz. Jazz, yeah, has that spiritual element because of its improvisation content. So that's, to most people, that's where this music would sit in the jazz arena. But even jazz has its... I'm a jazz aficionado and I only like Dixieland. You know, yeah, that's jazz. You know, everybody has their definition of what is jazz. What is jazz? Well, that's jazz.
That isn't jazz to me. Jazz is improvisation. I mean, if you look at Miles Davis and certain albums of his, you can see that's like real improvisation. And that's what it should be. But yeah, Dixieland, that ain't jazz. That's Dixieland. You know, trad jazz. But it's just New Orleans stuff. You know, to put that word jazz on the end of all that stuff isn't right, you know.
Yeah.
Because I really think I play jazz, but nobody else would.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I mean, see, when you look up what does jazz mean, it actually means miscellaneous.
Is that what it means?
Yeah, jazz? It means miscellaneous jazz. All that jazz, you know. It's like it's you know, it's like people say lol or whatever or and so and so.
Yeah. So yeah.
So yeah.
And you know what the word gig means? Comes from.
Go on, tell us about gig.
Well, gig is, and I hate that the government are using it, the gig economy. It's really, but originally it was the jazz musicians in New York, they just go to the clubs to play for the love of playing, and because nobody would pay them for it, they just wanted to play this new music that they'd found. And then they started getting paid, the club owners started paying them money, and they said, God is good. G-I-G, and that's where it comes from. God is good. So when there was going to play, they'd say, well, is it a gig? Meaning, are they going to get paid? And so there still was the ones that didn't get paid, so they weren't gigs. So a gig is where you get paid, and it's God is good for paying.
So a gig, the definition of a gig, is where you get paid for what you love doing.
By God.
by God, because
by a people.
Yeah, by a people. That's how you know. How else does God work? So, that's a lovely little angle on it, because again, you know, you're doing your spiritual praise when you're playing music, when you're improvising music. That is you speaking to God, is it not?
Exactly.
I am singing with my instrument, or with my flute, or with my sitar or guitar. I am singing to God with the way that I sing.
Yeah.
And God responds with harmony.
Yeah, for sure. And when you're the one that's playing it, you feel it more. I know, as a listener, if you're a listener, it's so, I mean, it must be so difficult to connect with that just by listening. Because, yeah, I get that. If I listen to the great Indian classical masters, that they can take me places. But to a lot of people that I've played it to, it's like, yeah, it just drones on and on. Well, it does. But you've got to follow it, and if you follow it, you'll get there. Yeah, most people think it. A lot of people, they don't understand it. If you don't understand it, you don't get there. I think that's what it is. We used to play. I used to work. I was on tour as a sound engineer for Nico, and we only had a few cassettes to play in the car. And one of mine and Eric Random's favourite was Bismillah Khan, the great Chennai player. The Chennai is like an oboe type instrument. So we used to play that all the time. Nico said, yes, I can't do the German accent, but she said, you can do a German accent. Give us a German accent.
No, yeah, anyway, you've got to tell me what she says. Anyway,
said was, yes, I like it. I really like it, but I don't like that squeaky thing in that goes all the way.
The squeaky thing. Now, which is the Chennai. Yeah.
It's the Chennai, yeah. Not squeaky, what's that? High-pitched word. Squawky. Yeah. I don't know how she said it. She said it in German, so we had to translate. We said, what do you mean? You know, like, anyway, it turned out that's what she meant, was the Chennai. She loved the rest of it. Now, the rest of the album, the rest of his music is just percussion and Chennai. So there is only one instrument. There is, so basically, she must, you know, the one instrument was in there is the thing she didn't like.
Bless her.
Good
heart.
Old Nico.
So,
what's that tea break now?
I think it's time for a tune. You've been talking talking about this stuff.
Okay,
give us a tune that reflects some of the things that we've just been talking about.
Well, I think we came in with a tune Beyond the Beyond, which is something we did a long time ago from the Shabda album. But now I think we're going to play this one, which is. It's from my latest album. I'm just trying to find the track. Shri Ganesh.
Shri Ganesh by Sons of Arca.
Shri Ganesh. We all have assembled here. Pay our respect to Sri Ganesha. Ganpati Pure has a special significance. What is the meaning? Because he is Mahaganesha. He's still a child. Sri Ganesha. Sri Ganesha at Muladhara comes Mahaganesha in the Virata, that is the brain. That means it is the seat of Sri Ganesha. That means Sri Ganesha governs. From that seat, the principle of innocence is the giver of innocence to the eyes. Innocence to the eyes. When he incarnated as Christ, which is in here, in the front, at Agya, he said very clearly, thou shalt not have adulterous eyes. What is the meaning? It's a very subtle thing. People don't understand what is the meaning of the word adulterous. It's very difficult. Adultery means impurity. Sri Ganesha, any impurity in the eye, thou shalt not have. Instead of saying that you get your realization and clear your back out there, he has said it in a very short form, thou shalt not have adulterous eyes. And people thought it's an impossible situation. We want to possess it. Sri Ganesha shining through your glances, gleaming. When there is innocence, there is no adultery. It means there's no impurity. You're still a child. You're still a child. Beauty of the eyes. Sri Ganesha shining through your eyes. The spark is there in the eye. Purer and purer. I'm powerful. I'm glistening. Respect Sri Ganesha.
And welcome back to Sons of Arca special. Oh, did you want us to talk about something?
No. Right, yeah, that was a track. That I recorded the parts for it a long time ago at Strawberry Studio, which is now closed down, which is in Stockport near Manchester. And then we added the vocals from who was my guru. She's passed on now at the time, Sri Mataji. So though it's kind of, here is the Indian classical music mixed with the dub with a message from my guru. So them are the three elements of that music.
Wait one second. What's dub?
What?
You haven't said the word at all in our entire conversation yet.
Oh, yeah.
What is dub? Because, I mean, in a way, dub is what joins us. we're both dub fans.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, dub is originates from the Jamaican music before it became reggae was Nyabingi, which was the African drumming that had gone over to Jamaica. It was a spiritual music of the Rastas, Rastafari drumming is what they called it, but it's Nyabingi drumming. Then it became what they call ska into reggae, and then it got heavy reggae, which was going back again to the Nyabingi, but with retaining the heavy bass and drums. It was like the heartbeat rhythms. So dub is just the rhythms of the bass in a certain beat, that a heartbeat rhythm, yeah.
But it's essentially the popular dance hall reggae music stripped back. They basically recorded these songs and then took the vocals off and all the kind of nice poppy stuff, all the kind of pretty stuff, leaving behind this substance, this foundation, which was to me it was the first time I'd heard anything that was like alien. It just didn't seem like, wow, can music do this? That was the first thing. I listened to African Dub Chapter 3 by Joe Gibbs.
Oh yeah. Yeah, where it all started, yeah, with exactly. King Tubby, Joe Gibbs. Originate was like stripped down stuff, but then people just make it without the original, without the songs on top. I don't know if people do, but I do.
I mean, for instance, there were some songs from, we will remember from the 1970s, is Althea and Donna.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean that was
Uptown
Top Ranking. Yeah. That's right. And again, that was from that specific Joe Gibbs album, African Dub Chapter 3.
Yeah, yeah.
And it had sound effects. It, you know, the you couldn't hear the vocals anymore. They were taken away. You could hear the bass was brought forward. Everything was reversed in a way. It's turned the music inside out. So what was in the background, the drums and the bass, were suddenly, they were in the forefront. Mm. The drums were given a grand space to play in. They were like given like a concert hall size area, like you thrown into the echo unit, and the bass was all enveloping. It enclosed you and lifted you up with its sonic vibrations. That was and you would go to a gig and they would, you know, have the bass up so high.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the time when this is the frequencies, it's going back to the frequency, the bass frequency, actually affect your being. And with that music, in a good way. Now, yeah, the bass frequency can destroy you at the same time. It's a subtle thing. If you get it wrong, it can break you, you know. That's the trouble with, for me...
Well, the French have been working on sonic weapons for a long time.
Exactly. So, and is this time for a tea break? And I'll play another tune. Acid Tabla Dub. This is from 1979. We recorded this and it's just been re-released. Not remix or anything. This is the original recording from 1979. Acid Tabla Dub. Thank you.
And welcome back. That was Acid Tabla Dub by Sons of Arca. You'll be able to find that on YouTube as well. Here, now, we're talking about our origins. I have spoken with many people on my show about their history, their soul history, their monad history, where they actually have incarnated on or through. Some people say Lyra, some people say Sirius, some people say Pleiades, some people say Arcturus, some people say Alpha Centauri. It's a big space out there. Some people say they're from other dimensions. Some people say they're from other galaxies. So one wonders, where is the galaxy? The point. Where is the galactic point? Let's call it like that, the galactic sort of direction that Sons of Arca arrives at us from. How about that?
How about that, yeah. Well, what I can say for certain is I'm not from this part of town. Everything I encounter seems to be opposite. And I know from where I come from, I don't have any... I think it may be something that's not plotted yet. It's before creation, I think. I just feel like, because of the sounds, that we are vibrations, and that that's all you are, vibrations. So without language, that each vibration can be a language. So if you vibrate at a certain frequency, that is exactly like expressing to the other being you meet. How you feel, what you want, everything is in the tone. So it's like, well, that's why singing comes about. Yeah, for instance, if I know I used to work in a old folks home, and these people had completely lost their memories of this life, but they had a perfect memory of music. So I was employed to play the music. And they just lit up because of the music, and they could even remember the words, because that was a memory that stayed with them, where everything else, including their names, they couldn't remember where they'd been, where they come from, but the music stayed there. So music is the beat, is like your whole being is vibrational, and that's where music comes from. So that's what I feel about that. Yes, that's true. It was through youth, who I was explaining was earlier in the show. Well, I was at youth's house, and we'd got asked to make a record for Survival, a charity Survival, an LP that we're making. And I said, I've got a fantastic song that we should do for that. And I played it to him on a cassette. I had it on a cassette. And it was like a pastiche on a Beatles song, Baby, You're a Rich Man. It wasn't a cover version. It was, I changed the tune, and it was basically using some of the words. So he said, well, that's great. He said, but we're going to have the permission of the writers, which were Lennon and McCartney, of course. And he said, oh, well, I'm meeting Paul McCartney on Friday at Abbey Road Studios to do... a webcast, which was the very early days of things like that. So they were doing their new album over the web, for one of the first people to do it. He said, you come down and tell him all about it. So anyway, I didn't want to at first, but I hung about a couple of days in London, and I went down. And there he was, Abbey Road, and we walked in, and people are saying, now where is he? And we're looking through the studio window, the control room, and there's a bit of smoke coming from the piano, and it was Mr. Paul McCartney under the piano with smoke. We won't say what he was doing, but I'm sure you can guess. Anyway, then he proceeded to do the album. It was, like I say, a webcast, and he had a balaclava on. So I don't know if you can find this on YouTube. They were called the Firemen, which is McCartney in youth, and it was their first album. He had a balaclava on, so people wouldn't know who he was. Anyway, after it was all over, he came into the studio. I'd never met him. And he took the balaclava off. And I went up to him and said, a youth introduced me and said, he's got this project of this song he wants to do. And he said, well, sing it to me. So so I sang him the song, no guitar or anything, just a cappella. He just said, fine. He gave me a card. He said, phone this guy and get the permission. So, you know, tell him I said it was all right. So the next morning, I phoned up the guy who was his publisher, I guess he was. And I said, I saw McCartney yesterday, and he said, I want permission to do this song. And he didn't believe me at first, but then I persuaded him. And then he said, oh, well, it's got to go to the other half of the writing team, which was, of course, Lennon, who had passed away by this time. So then it went over there, and 3 months later, it came back, no. So Paul McCartney said yes, John Lennon said no. But anyway, I recorded it anyway, and here it is. I hope you like it. I'm doing the vocals, not Paul McCartney.
So, Baby... No, it's not Baby. It's Maybe You're a Rich Man.
Maybe You're a Rich Man.
By Sons of Arca. Thank you very much, Michael Wadada, for appearing here this afternoon. To follow Sons of Arca, you can go to sonsofarca.co.uk.
That's right.
How do you spell Arca, Michael?
A-R-Q-A. And Sons, S-U-N-S.
S-U-N-S of A-R-Q-A. sonsofarca.co.uk. You also have a YouTube channel.
Yeah, YouTube channel.
Which is Sons of Arca?
Official Sons of Arca.
Official Sons of Arca. Yeah, there we go. And... Facebook presence?
Probably got all that run by my man Brian in Ireland.
Just type in Sons of Arco into Facebook. Yeah, I'm sure you'll get something. Thank you very much. Maybe You're a Rich Man.
Hope so. There you go.
beyond.